This episode of Worst Ever Podcast brought to you by Daily Harvest. We've all seen a mouth-watering healthy smoothie or acai bowl on Instagram or Pinterest and thought, you know what, that's the kind of thing I should be eating, but who has the time to make that every day?
I say that every day.
Well, yeah, obvi. Wouldn't it be great if you could just get those picture-perfect nutrients without having to hit the farmer's market and chop up a million fruits and veggies? Well, now you can get all your superfoods super fast with Daily Harvest. So Daily Harvest sends superfoods straight to your door with, you can get smoothies, you can get breakfast bowls, you can get nice cream vegan sundaes. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I actually think, they're very good.
And you just what?
It comes right to your door.
And that's it? You have it ready?
Yes, it's ready for you, and then you just eat them.
Oh my God, that's my life. I need this.
You need a lot of things. I'm looking at your face right now, and I feel like you need more nutrients and superfoods.
I'm looking at your face, too, and I feel like you need filler. Okay.
Back to Daily Harvest. You are so rude. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code WORST to get three items free off your first box. That's promo code WORST for three free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. Daily-harvest.com.
Wow, that's good.
The worst moments of our life.
Hey girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of like worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
Yeah, and we feel the pain is best or funny. Welcome to Worst Ever.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. I'm your host, Alaa Khalid.
We really have to stop.
You this have is to stop. Not, Why don't you just give in?
We need to come up with a different
give
intro.
In.
I am your host, Christine Lakin.
So she says.
And today on the podcast, we have a very funny actress. This is big. I mean, this is huge. I have to say she's probably like one of the biggest people we've had on our podcast.
You think?
Yeah. What, you don't think?
I don't know.
You would know
I
mean, her from...
I would say I'm not.
If she's saying she's not, then she must be.
I'm a fan and like wannabe. I kind of want to be her friend, but I don't want to like say that in like front of her. So just edit that part out if you can't see it. You would know her from Jurassic World, the movie. You would know her from the show Crashing, which I also love on HBO. She's very funny. She has her own podcast called With Special Guest that I was a special guest on. Lauren Lapkus, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, Lauren.
I want to be your friend, too.
Okay.
So that works out.
Okay, we can do it. I totally, like, Twitter stalked Lauren, and I was like, hey, I had so much fun in your podcast. Any chance you'd want to come on ours? And, like, she wrote me back.
I was like, yes.
That's so great.
So nice. You and Tori Spelling are the only people that have written me back through social media.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's a great club to be a part of.
I kind of feel like it is,
I feel
too.
Good about that.
Yeah.
Well, I got blocked from a housewife, if that means
who?
Anything.
Who?
Oh, Real Housewives of Atlanta. What's her name? Kim.
Wow, Kim. Oh my God, Kim Zolciak?
Yeah, she blocked
party
me.
Party for the party?
She blocked me first season of Housewives because I made a wig joke.
First season?
Yeah, the first season.
You were like right on the ground floor making fun of her.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, but the funny thing is I was making fun of her, but like in a fun way, not because I love her.
Yeah,
like,
she's amazing.
Right. I love all the housewives, and then she blocked me. But I'm going on a tangent. So,
no, that's
sorry.
My kind of tangent. I love the housewives.
So do I. That's why I'm like not that impressed by you because you're not a reality star.
Honestly, I only freak out when I meet reality stars.
That's me too.
I'm like, oh yeah.
I'm like, I've met Elizabeth Taylor, but I don't care. I've worked with Barbara Streisand. I don't care.
Nene
if
Leakes.
I see Nene Leakes, I'll freak out.
Yes. I freaked out meeting the Property Brothers.
Oh my God.
I took a picture with that. It was like I was at the Emmys, and I'm like, they were the only people. I like asked for a photo with them and nobody else. That was possibly. It was like there's so many people there that I was
literally walking by with an Emmy, and you're like, cool. Oh my God,
like,
Property
Brothers.
That is nuts.
What's your favorite Housewives?
I think OC is actually my favorite.
Really?
See, I go back and forth.
Yeah, but I love Atlanta. I mean, I love Beverly Hills. I don't watch Jersey.
New York is my favorite.
I love New York. I do.
New York is amazing.
It is, but I feel like OC has a lot more like full on screaming in each other's faces.
They don't care.
Which is so great.
I mean, you're obviously watching this season.
Yes.
It's on tonight.
I never know what day anything's on. I just, I'm like, my DVR appears with something new.
I know.
Yeah.
I couldn't get Spectrum, no offense, Time Warner, because they only you can only tape two shows at once.
Spectrum was literally hell. I had the worst time with Spectrum. I will drag them on this podcast.
Yeah,
I hate them.
Yeah, no, I was like,
it was like going back to the dark ages. Yeah. I literally had to go through the guide. Yeah. There was no search feature.
No, and my guide, I don't know if you had this happen when I got it because they updated it recently. Apparently, they were trying to give it to me to stay for that update, but it was like purple and yellow and looked like it was from the 90s. I was like, this is not. Beta. I can't. You haven't fixed that. You're not done. Yeah.
And in the middle of the night, we would hear the DVR go.
Like a VCR, like
restarting.
Like, what's happening?
Like, oh,
getting
ready
there.
To get a show.
No, I had to stay with DirecTV. I was like, "There's just no way. I can't." I literally was like, "Okay," because they were giving me this deal, and I was like, "Okay," just out of curiosity, how many shows can I DVR at once? They're like two, and I go. Yeah. Oh, well, that's not going to work.
It's not acceptable.
There's like seven reality shows a night that I'm taping at the same time. There's just no way.
Yeah. That's the point of the DVR. Yeah.
I love that you love reality TV.
So much. I love The Bachelor. I had a Bachelor Fantasy League that I started on my own, and I ran it and did all the math myself. It was really way too much pressure, actually.
I've been in a couple of those, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've never win, but I play with one of the
I think Jimmy Kimmel does that,
cheats.
Too.
Wait, hold on. Who do you play with?
Deanna Pappas.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She's been on the show.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, wait. I have to go back.
I've known her for years, and she and her husband actually started a grid where there was like a buy-in. But the way they do it, I don't know how you do yours, each season as the girls enter, you get until they finish getting out of the limo, and then the game begins. And you have to wager which one is going to cry first, which one is going to get drunk first, which is going to get the first rose, all that stuff, all the way down to final four, final two, winner. And it's like basically all on speculation, but there's different value points for each thing. So like, you know, final four roses, those are huge value points.
Yeah.
Everyone puts in like $20. That damn girl, she wins every year.
Ugh.
Deanna?
I feel like she just knows.
She must.
Well, she's been in it. Of course
she is. I gotta stop playing.
But do you do it with The Bachelor and Bachelorette?
We mostly just do it with The Bachelor for whatever reason.
Well, for me, it was that I ended up just doing The Bachelor because I had to take a break after it. And The Bachelorette starts right up, and I'm like, I'm too tired. I can't.
It sounds like an investment.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
But there are now like fantasy leagues that are online where you just put in the info and it like does it all for you.
That's
crazy. I did one of those, but then I just started not caring. I
think Jimmy Kimmel does it too. I know he does it with Dancing with the Stars. He bets on.
Ooh. I think a lot of people do that. Not like I think like in his world, a lot of people.
Yeah, because I listen to Howard Stern.
Yes, that's why I know that.
Okay, right.
Okay, great.
So and they lost.
Oh, really?
Well, because what's his name got kicked off, the football player or basketball player, whoever it was. That they had money on.
I don't follow it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyways, I don't. I gave up on the Disney.
I did see. I turned it on at one point and saw Chris Kattan getting kicked off, and it broke my heart. I was like, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah.
Where are you from, Lauren?
I'm from Evanston, Illinois, where Northwestern University is.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school?
I went to DePaul.
Oh.
In Chicago. And then lived in New York for like a year and a half after school, and then moved to LA.
Were you working in New York at all?
No, I was like. I've been doing improv since I was like in high school and did that in college and then did that in New York. But that's all unpaid. And then I was in like a theater company and stuff, but all like very low key, not actually working. I started auditioning for commercials when I was in New York and I probably auditioned for like 10 in my year and a half or whatever and didn't book any of them. But it was like really exciting to be getting into
doing
that.
It. Yeah. 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 That's what we always say. The audition's the work. The job is the fun.
Yeah. 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 And it felt like, it was very intense. I was babysitting as like my job. And so having to like leave a babysitting job and race to an audition, it was all very like New York
so New
feeling.
York.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you like in coming to LA from New York? You've been here how long now?
Almost 8 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And you still do improv all the time.
Yeah, yeah, I do. I've started to pull back now, which feels like a luxury because I think for like when you're in that world, it feels like you have to be doing it all the time and like you don't want to miss any opportunity to perform. And I do think that pays off. Like I think that led to me getting a manager and getting jobs and stuff. But now it's like I just really like to watch TV and do nothing, and so I try to like let myself skip shows, and that feels really good.
Well, and you're busy.
Yeah, too. Yeah. It's hard to like keep going out every night when you're like actually doing stuff during the day. Where before I'd be like, my life doesn't start until 8 p.m. And then,
yeah. I mean, I love going to those shows, but I have a kid now, and so and people are like, oh my god, come to UCB, I'm performing at 10:30. I'm like, oh god. Yeah. No, sweetie, I'm in bed by then.
Like, no, I wish I had the kid excuse because I'm just like, I have to do a show at 11. Okay, I'll be there. But I'm like, I've already had to like have a second wind by that point. And like,
You should just have a kid.
Yeah,
that's
I think I will, just to like reason.
No, it's just excuses all the time.
Well, like, it's also hard to watch improv in the sense of like, as an improver, you probably were like, oh, I wish I was up there.
It's like, it's not, it's some of that, but it's also just like, I just feel like I've seen so much that it's right. like, it's not as exciting. Like when I would first go to improv shows, you'd be like, how are they doing it? Like it was like right. amazing. Like, how do they come up with that? And then now I'm like, I know how they come up with it and I don't care. Like right. not in a mean way. It's just
like magicians watching magic.
Yeah, like right. you can't, yeah, you're seeing all the tricks and all the things. So right. it takes away the excitement a little bit. But
do you ever see, have you ever watched a show? And then I want to get into all your worst ever stories. But
yeah.
have you ever watched a show called The Carbonaro Effect?
No, but I just...
Oh
I know about this show from a really weird reason. Chris Gethard has a show. This guy that I know has a show on True TV that's like, it's all live, which is really cool. And they do all this weird shit the whole time. I can't even explain it. But he was wearing that a shirt from that show. Oh, and I don't right. know what it means. And I don't know where that's from. But it's like in my head now.
So Michael
that?
Carbonaro is a, he's a magician. And this is a hidden camera TV show. But he does like really dumb stuff. So like he'll be working at a wine store or whatever. And he'll, and like people will be like shopping. And he'll be like, oh, we're doing free samples of the champagne, would you like one? And they're like, okay. So he pours them a bottle and you know they're drinking it and they're like, it's nice. He's like, yeah, and the great thing about this bottle is it just kind of like crushes down and then he does this like magic trick and it becomes like a little bottle in front of their eyes and people are like, wait, how did you just, I don't understand. He's like, yeah, no, it's really great because if you want to travel, you just kind of crush the bottle and then wait, hold on, let me figure out, I can't, how do I, how does it work? And then he'll like eventually like make it turn back into a big one. He's like, just be careful when you open it because the carbonation, you know, from going from little to big.
Uh-huh.
And people are like, what? Anyway, my
That's
husband,
crazy.
It's kind of a funny show. My husband loves this show
uh-huh.
and was recently at some, he was performing at some like, I don't know, Ghouls and Goblins Expo. Don't ask.
I really want to ask.
Yeah.
But I'm not
going to. He's in this like theater company and they do some really avant-garde, like old haunted sort of works. Anyway, freaking Michael Carbonaro is walking around and of course, like the Property Brothers.
Yes.
He's like, oh my God, I know you. And like ran up to him and like got it. He's like, my wife and I watch your show all the time. He has this like selfie with Michael Carbonaro.
That is more exciting than so many people. It is I know. Crazy how that works.
It's really dope.
I was just at a wedding a couple days ago and there was a magician walking around doing tricks.
I hate magic. I haven't chimed in only because I can't stand it.
I love that opinion.
It bothers me.
What and about it?
I just don't like it.
Do you think it's annoying?
Like, it's so annoying to me. It pisses me off.
When you know it's happening, though. People are like, let me show you a trick. Yeah.
No, I know. Like for instance, like my friends love to go to, like, they want to go see Lance Burton in Vegas, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm like, fuck no. I don't want to go. They're like, what? And I go, I hate magicians. I hate going to comedy shows too, stand-up comedy shows.
Okay, why?
Because I don't laugh out loud. Like, I might think it's funny, but I don't laugh out loud and in those situations.
So you're like the worst.
So I'm the worst participant.
Yeah, you're just like staring.
And I'm just mm-hmm. like, oh, this is really great.
He's the angry guy.
Right. So yeah. I end up getting picked on, you
of
know,
because they're like, resting you. Bitch face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't like to go to those shows either. I hate magic.
I love that. I was just going to say, I was at a wedding and this magician was walking around doing tricks like during the cocktail hour and stuff. And it was, I mean, that's kind of fun. Like it breaks up a wedding. No, you don't agree with that?
He just wants to drink. He just wants to have the free cocktails.
Like have enough bar stations that we don't have to wait in a line. That's all I care about.
Yeah, that's true too.
Or women or people walking around. Right. Women and yes. men walking around right. with like the trays of mixed right. drinks.
Yeah. Okay,
continue.
Well, anyway, he did a trick that blew my mind and I can only assume there's some obvious thing to it. I don't know, but he took my cell phone and opened the calculator and then did this like number trick where he basically would make it look like he would pull a number off the screen with his finger and then it'd be gone. So it said like 7777 and he'd like take 1 7 away and then just swipe another one away and swipe another. It was the crazy. And then he put them back. And they would just appear on the screen. I don't understand.
That is weird.
It was crazy. And seeing with technology was really cool. Like I felt like he did a card trick. He did other stuff where I'm like, I'm impressed by that because I don't understand how to do it at all. But that one really blew my mind because it was like, how the fuck did you do that with the phone?
It's some sleight of hand.
I don't.
It's gotta be.
I don't
like,
know.
Like he's swiping it, but he's also like using his thumb to like press the 7.
It's gotta be, right?
It's gotta be. He's just gotten really good at it.
I know. It was
See,
really
I love
cool.
that.
He's it was neat.
Resting bitch face over here.
He hates it so
I
much.
Hate
he
hates
it so much.
I think it's so stupid.
Lauren, okay. Do you ever do stand up?
No, I don't. I tried it one time. Actually, that qualifies as the worst ever. I did. I did try stand up one time when I was like 21 or something. And I went to an open mic and I had my friend film it. So somewhere there's a tape of this, but I never watched it again. I don't know where the tape
went. If you want to, if you find it, let us know. We'll put it up on our Instagram.
I mean, I don't know if I could handle it. I that's the thing with these worst type things. Like, I can't even think about the moments in my life that are so bad.
We block them out.
I think I've blocked out a ton because coming into this, I was like, I don't think I have a lot of things where like things went really wrong or something. And it's like, no, right.
When we were doing the live show, we'd have actors be like, I don't have any. I'm like, do me a favor. Come to the show, watch it, and I guarantee during the show, you're going to come up with 15 different worst evers.
Yeah.
But that, I think it's also a performer thing because I think there are so many times we don't get the job or the stand-up goes wrong or it's a bad improv show. And in order to get up and do it again, you literally have to block it out.
You
like it never
have
happened.
To. I mean, I'm thinking now of bad improv shows too, and they're bad. I mean, they're bad. It's, I mean, especially when you're first starting, the things that happen on stage. Well, let me tell you about my worst stand-up because it was really horrible.
Good.
I went to this open mic and there were probably like 10 people in the audience, and it was at like a cafe. It was very like all horrible just in what it was. And then
it was in Studio City.
It was in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
It's very same crap. Thing. It's very crappy.
Yes, it is. And I like planned a whole set. Like, I wrote jokes and they were all about like crying in my car. Like, they were all like associated somehow with like crying in my car, like things that had really happened to me. And the second I got up there, I really was like so panicked. I wish I could have watched the video. I don't know where it went, but I immediately got like just so nervous. And like, it's because it's so different from improv and like what I was used to doing, that I was like, I'm clearly trying to be funny, and if they don't laugh, it's very different than improv where you could kind of like be like, I'm doing a scene and there are moments that are funny, right. And there are moments that are just important for me to say this information. But like, I just was panicking and I started like just devolving into a character. Like, I could not be myself. And it just was like, now I'm just doing a character. And then it just like was that. And then I got off stage and I was mortified.
Oh God.
It was just horrible. It was just like, I don't even know what happened because I think I did block it out.
Yeah.
But I remember just going like, this isn't
what
working.
What was the character?
I don't even know. I can't remember.
So my question is,
Kelly Sullivan calls this going to the white room. It's like you don't know.
Right.
It's like you're in a different
headspace.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get through it.
I just had, it was pure panic and terror. And you're just like, I'm sweating and I just want words to come out and have it be okay. And then from that point on, let's never talk about it again. And let's just get on our bikes and ride home.
Just get to, well, that's my time.
Yeah. It was probably like 3 minutes too, but it felt horrible. I mean, it's just.
And two questions. Okay. One, do you stay afterwards or do you like immediately bolt?
I think we immediately left. I was like, let's just get out of here. Like, it was just like, I can't.
And do you have friends or there, or is it strangers?
Just one friend. My roommate came and she filmed it.
And afterwards, were you like, was that horrible? And she was like, wasn't the best.
No idea. I really think it's like, I can't remember any of it on purpose.
But was your roommate kind of like, I mean, it was fine.
She was really supportive. So I think she would have been like, that was funny. And then we were just like, bye.
I'm like the wrong I'm the wrong person to take.
Oh, yeah. I definitely knew who I was taking.
I'd be like, listen.
He came in this morning, told me my base was the wrong color, that I look orange.
What
am I going to do with my hair before I start my show? Because it can't be this.
Well, no,
I'm not even kidding.
I want her to be her best.
I love that, though, in a friend. Like, you, I have those certain friends where I'm like, they will tell me.
No, judgmental, critical, and annoying?
No. I want her to be at her best. That's all. At all moments.
Well,
That's all.
Okay.
But you come across as someone like that to me.
Like judgmental, critical,
no,
annoying.
All of the above.
The opposite, that you're at your best. Like, I feel like.
Oh, thank you, Lauren.
When you did my podcast, I left with the impression of like, I don't make myself look nice enough. I don't take enough care with myself. Like, she came in looking so beautiful and pulled together, and I was like,
thank you.
I just throw on a t-shirt and jeans. I gotta fucking try. Like,
no,
I was
man.
Like.
This is what I usually look like. I actually did have a meeting at my agency later that day, so it looked great. I knew we were going to take a picture, so I, you know,
it paid off.
My other question for you is, why do we cry in the car? Because that's where I go.
It is where I go to cry.
Yeah, that's my place.
It feels like you can just be really loud and there are no repercussions.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to have a neighbor hear you.
If something emotionally happens to me and I'm like, I have now like. Like something happened this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say yet, but I'll say it later. And I was devastated.
Mm-hmm.
Held it in. As soon as I got in my car, literally, tears just started.
I know it does feel like that's the place. It is like a safe space. I have another moment about crying, actually, that's making me the worst ever kind of moment, where I got some bad news. It's like not funny at all, but like in the moment, I didn't even want to say what it was again, because it was related to seeing something online about myself, and it was really upsetting. And I burst into tears, and I was crying so hard and so loud that I heard my neighbor shut the window.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
And then that made me laugh, because it was just like...
The visual of that?
Because I was like crying like somebody died, but it wasn't that serious, so now it's funny. Like, because it was just like, I was like, no, why?
What do you mean she wore it best?
Oh, man. Like, wait. And I just hear like slam.
Okay, so forgive me. You said you were at the Emmys.
Yeah.
So were you nominated?
This year I was. When I saw the Property Brothers, I was not nominated. But this was that was just like I was doing a bit that year.
Nominated for?
This year I was nominated for acting in a short form, like actress in a short form comedy or drama. So it was a web series that I did.
What was it called?
It's called The Earliest Show. I implore everyone to go watch it.
Well, we have to.
It was so fun. It's like one of my favorite things that I've
done. Where do we find it?
It's on Funny or Die.
Okay, great.
And it's on YouTube too, I
did
think.
Did you win?
No. Okay. Jane Lynch won. And that was a moment too where it was like obvious. It was like... I was sitting there
and this is
waiting.
Not on air.
No, it was at the Creative Arts Emmys or whatever, but they did air it on television. My mom did watch it even though she knew I lost.
Right.
I'm like, it's so funny to watch it knowing that it doesn't, I was on TV standing up while someone else won and walked past me.
Right.
It was not, like, you don't see me at another point.
No, we only like losers on this show.
Yeah. Okay.
We've had multiple losers.
We've had nominated,
Tony nomination.
Tony nomination.
A daytime Emmy nomination.
Oh, great.
And now you, Emmy nomination.
We also had Randy Heller, who was an Emmy nomination.
Yep.
That's exciting.
Yeah. We're waiting on our, we just need an Oscar.
We can't get a winner.
Oscar loser. And a Tony loser.
We need a Tony.
Grammy loser.
We need a Grammy loser.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
That's exciting, at least.
But it was funny because like a friend of mine told me who's won Emmys and lost Emmys before, and he was like, "You're not going to win." And
That's a good friend.
It was Scott Aukerman. I'll just say that now. He was like, "You're not going to win, and that's okay." And he's like, "Just like prepare yourself to not win, because Jane Lynch is nominated and she'll just win." And he's like, "It's political. You know, there's other reasons behind everything, and it doesn't even matter if your thing was good, and you won't win." And I was like, "But my thing is good, and I feel like there's still a chance." He's like, "No." So like, there was like a part of me that still
who
was
else
like,
"Was nominated."
It was Jane Lynch, and then Mindy Sterling was nominated twice in the same category. Which,
that's like,
split the vote.
Yes, and then there was another woman whose name I can't remember right now, but it was a Walking Dead related thing. So it was very different because then it's comedy and drama, and so I watched
it's weird how they do that.
So intense. She's like fighting a zombie, and I'm like, it's the opposite of everything else. So
do you go
feels
to the parties and stuff?
Yeah, I did everything.
And
it was
what
great.
What did you wear?
I wore a bunch of fun outfits. that was a fun thing to plan. I went to like 4 or 5 parties and bought different dresses that...
You didn't use a stylist?
No, I've used a stylist in the past and it's been cool or whatever, but it is very expensive. And it was one of those things where I was like, you know what? I think I'd like to try to just do it myself and see what I come up with.
And possibly return the dress after.
Oh, yeah. There's that option, except I sweat too much. But I could wear them again to different events, like, you know, like weddings or whatever. And so I bought all my stuff, and it was fun to do that. I also felt like I was able to kind of explore my style a little bit by doing it myself. You know, when someone like shows you a rack of things, it's like a different mentality. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
do you drive yourself there?
We drove to a couple of the parties and then took cars to a couple of the parties that were where they were supplied to me.
Were there gift bags involved?
I got a couple little things that I love free stuff so much. I got like, I was really delighted by a box of Sugarfina gummies that were free. I loved that. And then I got a free subscription to People Magazine, which I did use.
That's
and
awesome.
I stole a few cards. So I did one for my mom and one for my friend and like set them all up. That was fun. And just little things like that. Nothing like really exciting though. I passed on a gifting suite because I've been to one before and I felt so uncomfortable.
They're
I don't
weird.
Know. Like, what do you
because,
feel about this?
I'll tell you why. Because you don't know if they know who you are. Mm-hmm. So they're. I know exactly what it is.
Yes.
Because I have an A-list celebrity friend that I go to gifting suites with. And so she always goes, well, are you going to get stuff? I'm like, you know what? At first, I felt that way. Because they're like, they don't know who I am. They're going to think I'm some weirdo. But she's like, just get it. It's fine. And I'm like, okay. So then now I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, what do you got? I'll take that.
I know.
I'll take that.
Got any hair gel?
Yeah.
I need some of that.
I'm like, what?
I feel very creepy about the whole thing.
Oh, and, it's great.
I mean, I love free stuff, but it is like sort of uncomfortable. And then like I end up leaving with like the one that I went to, I left with so much stuff. And then like later I was like, I don't want any of this.
Yeah, but you regift.
Well, I'd have. And then a lot of it ends up in the trash.
Well, you know what's so
it's
funny?
Like, just like products.
You know what Isaac Mizrahi does?
What?
And this sounds it's such a strange question, thing. So I obviously I know him from Project Runway All Stars. Mm-hmm. And so I went to go see his live show in Atlanta. He does a cabaret and it's fucking great. So I went and saw him in Atlanta a couple weeks ago.
You know him personally.
I know him personally.
Yeah.
What he does is, as part of the show, he takes all the fucking free swag that he gets and he to his fans, and they're like, you know, QVC watching fans.
Yeah,
they're like,
right.
Love the Isaac Mizrahi on QVC, right? So he's
That's
like,
so funny.
He's got like, even like his own branded stuff, he yeah. like has like a ton of junk, like the Isaac Mizrahi wine, which he has nothing to do with, but he just licenses his name to it. So he's literally in the middle of a set. He does this whole thing where he brings out this giant bag of shit and he just like, all right, so I got this. Who wants it? You know, and he just gives
That's
it out.
That's
fun.
The show.
And it was so fun.
You know what I used to do?
What?
So I've been to a bunch of the yeah. Emmy and Oscar stuff, and sometimes you cart home. There's a bag and you're like, what the fuck? Like Sundance? I don't know if you've ever.
No, Sundance, my dream is to go to Sundance because you get like, it seems like really good shit. Like you get
Sundance
like full on boots,
next
coats,
level.
Like.
It's next yeah. level ridiculousness. My girlfriend actually, she went with me to Sundance in 2009, not even kidding. And 2 weeks ago said, oh my God, I just went through a box and found like pajamas and products from Sundance. I'm still finding the things from Sundance.
That's amazing.
Anyway, what I used to do is there's so much stuff and a lot of it you're not going to use. I would wrap it up at Christmas time. I would invite all my girlfriends over, and I had this like ridiculous girls' party at Christmas, and we did a Secret Santa, but I supplied all the gifts.
That's
so
awesome.
I labeled them all. So it was like 1 through 25 or 1 through 30, however many people were coming. And it was everything from like a self-tanning gel to like a Bluetooth headset to like, I mean, some of this stuff was great and some of it was like nasty, like yeah. trash. And people would go around, it would be like the white elephant.
I love that.
And people fucking fought over Bluetooths. They fought over like tanning creams.
No, it's true. I had like a whole drawer of that stuff for a while where it was so much tanning cream, by the way.
So much tanning cream.
And I was like, I'm going to try it. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I don't tan and I wish I did. I think
well, you know which one's the best,
your brand,
right?
It's not my brand. If I start tanning, then I'm changing what kind of roles I'm getting and it's all...
Right. But if you're going to use a tanning cream...
The gifts ruined my career.
If you're going to use a tanning cream, I suggest the Jergens.
Oh my God.
That lotion?
Yes.
I just don't like the way it smells. Any of the tanning stuff.
I feel like I need it on my legs whenever I see a picture of myself. And then I'm like, but it's...
Just maybe just before an event. It's fine.
Yeah.
But then not on the everyday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about like worst auditions and worst job experiences.
Yeah, okay. So I have one audition that I couldn't forget. I feel like I'm sure I've had so many that went poorly, but like you've said, like it's, mm-hmm. I feel like I have blocked them, but I had one where, okay, so it was for, 21 Jump Street or 22 Jump Street. What is it called?
The movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
The
movie.
And so it's like in
for the sequel or for the first one?
For the first one.
So 21 Jump
okay,
Street.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess so in the movie, they're like going back to college or whatever. And
right.
so I was auditioning to play one of the college students, like in the, like one roommate or something. And anyway, so the line is just like, the line that I was supposed to say was like, what are you, like a 40-year-old freshman? And when I kept rehearsing it, like in my car, I'd keep saying, what are you, a 40-year-old virgin? And I was like, oh, that's so annoying. Stop saying that. And
right.
like, and I was like, just it's freshman. Like, don't say that. And I feel like I'm going to say it wrong and whatever. And so then like, I got in the audition and I started doing it and it was going fine. And then I was like, what are you, a 40-year-old virgin? And then I went, fuck. And I just like, screamed, fuck. And there were like 5 people watching me. And I was like, I knew I was going to do that. Can I just do it again? And then like, but it was like, it went so insane. Like, it's like, of course I could have just kept talking. It would have been fine if I had
and
said
then they
virgin.
Just been like, oh, yeah.
Oh, you said virgin on accident because it's a movie title, whatever. And like,
right.
I screamed fuck, and then I laughed and I like cried, and I was like, what? And then I didn't get it.
Did you finish the scene?
Yeah, then I did it again, but it was like I couldn't calm down, and I was like, who screams fuck, Lauren, when they mess up? Like, it was so crazy.
Like, you're angry at yourself, right? And you're screaming at yourself in front of, like, because now you say there's five people, so that means that she's in front of producers.
There was a whole director. There was a whole
thing. She's like not in. You're not at the pre-read. Let's put it that way.
It was not cool. Yeah, and like it wasn't even funny. Like, it was like it was all just bad. Like, I just left. And I was like, oh, why did I do that? Like, I just felt so dumb. Oh,
and you didn't get it. Did you watch the movie?
I did not get it. No. No, I've never seen the movie.
I think it's really hard sometimes to watch things that you got close on. Yes. Or it was between you and someone else. Like, there's posters all over this GD city for a TV show right now. And every time I see them, I'm like,
so annoying, because it would be your face.
Yes.
Like, when you see that and you're like, okay, like when you're annoyed that you almost got something and it sucks and you feel sad and whatever, and then it starts coming out and then you're like, oh, it's everywhere, and that would have been me and that could have been really awesome and everyone loves the show and whatever, you know, it's like all that stuff. Right. It does really suck.
It's I know. It's annoying. What's the best worst job you missed out on?
Like that I got really close to?
Yeah, like you tested.
There have been a handful that I was like, I feel like I purposely forget. It's part of the thing where I've stopped telling my mom like what I'm auditioning for because then she's like,
yeah, that's exactly what you have to do.
It's because then she's like, why didn't you get that? Yeah, then it's like, what? Where is it? Why? When's it coming out? What's happening? I'm like, I don't care. I don't know.
I moved on.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, I got out of the room and then I washed it off myself. There have been a few shows. One show that I almost like I tested for was Disjointed. And that's on Netflix. My friend is on it, Betsy Sodaro. And so that would have been fun. Yeah. But beyond that, it's not like I'm something where I'm like, I really wish I got it. But we went to Vegas together, and everywhere we went, everyone's like, Disjointed to her. And I was like, wow, everyone's watching that show. Like, it was like crazy. Like, I was like, everywhere we went, she got recognized for it. And it was so funny. And we got like free stuff for her. And I was like, this is great. But like, it was one of those things where I didn't expect that show to be something that everyone's watching it. And it was like, we went out and everyone has seen that show.
Yeah, that's always a little weird. I know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think though, because I really do feel like I just make myself forget. I mean, I wanted to ask you about this because I was having a conversation with some friends the other night, and it was really eye-opening talking about everyone's experiences with horrible hair and makeup that happens to you.
Oh, God.
And we were all sharing, and we were like, oh my God, like, there's so much you think you can't fight back against. Yep. Like, you just let it happen. There was a full movie I was in where I looked so ugly, I've never watched the movie. And it was like, I like hate how I look, and I hate what they did, and I just can't watch it. And I'm like,
what movie?
I can't say. Okay.
Why?
Because I don't want people to go seek it out and be like, you do look ugly. I don't want the conversation.
Lauren, listen to me. Listen to me.
I also can't say I've never watched it because I think the people involved will be offended.
Who cares?
No one listens to this podcast. I know.
Even if they did, it doesn't matter. Listen, you're doing a service by telling that, you know, listen.
Okay.
What movie?
I've never watched it.
Okay.
And I feel horrible even saying that. Well, look, hears this.
They did what they felt was best. And sometimes it comes down to, you know what your face looks like, and you would prefer it not to look like what they want your face to look
but
like.
But also, here's the deal. Let's talk about this movie for a minute.
Sure.
Independent.
Yes.
Low budget.
Yes.
Shot where?
Locally in LA,
Was it local hires in the sense of union? Was there a union attached to this?
I think there was, just depending on, based on when I did it, I feel like it would have.
I'm talking about like hair and makeup.
I don't know.
It's a possibility that they're just. Oh, no.
They could have Craigslisted that.
Right.
I mean, she was really
which
nice.
You never know what you're going to get.
It was just.
Of course.
A lot of people like to make me look really plain in a way that is very upsetting to me.
Yeah, but like, I'm looking at your features, for instance, like, I wouldn't put a lot of makeup on you either.
No.
Like, you have the most beautiful eyes, so just a little bit of liner, right?
But they don't do the liner.
Just a little bit.
But I won't get any. Most of the time, I won't get any.
No,
so it'll be like, So I'll have like bare eyes and like brown mascara, so there's like no definition because I have like really light eyelashes. And like, it's just, I just look like really whitewashed, like sort of like just like, oh, like it's just very like blah.
But you have to take control in the chair.
I know, but I'm learning this now, but it's so hard.
Because I don't want to upset anyone. I feel bad.
And like, justification for this one was like, my character looks like this.
That's exactly what you do.
And it was like, God damn it, now my character looks like this. It's like, that's me still.
Yeah, no, that's what you do. It's like, I think my character would wear this.
Right, I should take it that way. Yeah.
That's how you do it, because then it's not about you personally.
Right, because I was basically doing that, but reversing it against myself and being like, they think my character looks like this.
They're not your character. They're not the character.
Right.
You're the one who's performing.
I have finally, but it's taken me a very long time to do this. I tell them what I want when I get in the chair.
Oh, I usually get there.
And good makeup artists will usually say, tell me what you like.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you are really opposed to or whatever? And I always say, give me a brow, give me a line on my eyes, and I want to do my mascara myself. Because I do it better than you do.
I need to start doing this. I've done it with my hair now, where I'll be like, I want my hair. I have a picture of what I like it looking like. Right. And I'm like, this is a general vibe. And that works. But that's still new to me, to be even like suggest what it looks like.
I call her colorist ahead of time before she gets there. I swear to God.
He does.
I literally call her colorist the day before. I'm like, Deborah.
She's looking really orangey. I'm like, orange.
I'm like, her hair is pulling a lot of red. You need to tone that shit. She's like, what? And I go, I'm telling you, Deborah, it's pulling red. I don't care what she says to you. You need to go back to the... I do it all the time. I honestly do.
It's crazy.
That's so funny. Have you dyed your hair for a long time?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think I started, when I was probably 14, I got like a couple of highlights, and that pretty much, it's been a downward spiral ever since. I've been every color. I've been red. I've been dark.
I love that. Don't do that.
But see, my mom always said I could never color my hair. I was never allowed to my whole life. And I had one time I had two blonde streaks, a photo I recently posted on my Instagram, but it's really disgusting. And I was like 14. And I was like, I'm cool. And it was so gross. But she was always like, you'll never be able to maintain it and all this stuff. And I was like, okay. But then sometimes I wish that I was allowed to, because I think it's so fun to change your look.
Well,
it is, I know. It's a slippery slope, though.
But you have really good color hair. I would not.
Yeah.
Unless it's a character thing where they're like, we want you to. Yeah, I would not.
No.
You seem to know what you're talking about.
I fucking do. Let me tell you.
At some point, the grays are going to come through, and then you're not going to have a choice. So save it.
Okay, good point.
Yeah, save it.
My dream is to have full on white hair when I'm old.
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, not that you're old, but I'm saying with guys, it's
no,
different.
No, he's old.
I want to have white. Long hair.
Yeah. I would love that.
I've seen that commercial actor who has
like
that
Willie Nelson hair.
Have you seen that woman?
Who?
She does a lot of like, I don't know, they're like
Boniva?
Like, yeah. But she's long.
She's beautiful. I think I know what you're talking about.
Long haired.
She does a lot of medical commercials.
Right. Yeah. The problem is that not a lot of people can pull that off. That hair length.
Yes. I don't know that it would actually work for me. I just dream of it.
Well, it might.
But yeah.
Randy Heller, love her hair. Yeah. White, like short, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had her on the podcast.
That can be very cool.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to tell you a quick story about one of my worst wardrobe relationships.
Yeah.
This is terrible. stop me if I've said this before. But I find that sometimes when you guest star on a show, especially like it's a big production, this one was CSI New York. So it was like the fifth season or something. It was a working machine, right?
Yeah.
And you come in as a guest star. And if you're like the lead in a movie, even as an independent, you can say, I feel like you have a little more like wherewithal to be like, my character is this.
Right.
Sometimes when you come into these big productions, they're like, great, we've already approved your look. We already know what we're doing with you.
And
it doesn't feel right
to try to be like, but I...
Yeah,
and I agree with that.
And so you kind of just like go into the background. On this particular episode, I had to play like a girl who danced at like a La Descarga type place. So I was like a burlesque dancer.
Oh, I remember this.
Cool.
Nice.
So I was a burlesque dancer. My boyfriend got murdered. They thought it was me. Turns out it wasn't me, but I was a suspect for a minute. And
by the way, you were really
shit.
Good in this episode.
Oh my God, thank you.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Okay, mark that the time code for when he gave me a compliment.
Yeah.
So I had to have this burlesque dance, and I had a choreographer, the whole thing, and they had to make this like tearaway bra thing.
Were you nervous?
A little bit, but I do dance, okay. So I kind of took it as like a challenge of I'm this character and I'm going to show off some dance moves.
Sure.
And the only thing that was like a little nerve-wracking was A, the costume, and B, the fact that at the end I had to put this like fan over my
tatas
and take my bra off.
Okay.
So it was like a tearaway bra situation. And I had pasties on, but still there's like probably 50 extras.
It's uncomfortable,
extras.
Yeah.
you know, I had to do it over and over, which was fine. Everyone, the crew, everyone was so great. So we fit the costume, and it's important that I feel really good in the costume. And we had, like, I felt good about these shorts, and I felt good about the way it was all going to kind of come together, and I felt comfortable, and the dance shoes were comfortable, and we were good to go. The day comes, and we're about to film, and they bring me the costume to the trailer, and it looks completely different. They've added these, like, tassels
you just reminded me of something. Go
onto
ahead.
The shorts. They've added things onto the arm. Now, I have a tiny frame, so scale is very important to me about the way things
yeah.
look. The shorts were now almost to my knees.
Which is not burlesque.
It's not a good
because
look on me.
Because of the tassels. Yeah.
Because of the tassels. And I was like, right. whoa, what are these? Whoa, we did not, this wasn't what we set. And I think they were just sort of like...
Getting creative
because they have their... It's people in suits and people in shirts. Yeah. And I'm sure they were like, ooh, like project.
Right.
So they just kind of like kept adding and adding and adding. And I felt like I was being a bitch, but I had to say like, I'm sorry. I'm uncomfortable wearing this.
Yeah.
I don't feel good in this. And like the costumer, which is like probably the third costumer, I think I really insulted her. She was like really upset.
That's the thing.
They took it off, but she
because
was like...
Because people feel... That's why it's
I
so
feel
scary
bad.
To say anything.
But
I just,
I'm the one on screen.
No, and I just did a photo shoot for my podcast. They were having like a whole thing at Earwolf and we had the people do makeup. And I'm so trusting. I just sit down and I'm just like, yay, I want to just like... I came in with like some makeup, but I was like, just pump it up. You know, like whatever I already was right. doing. Like
pump it
you
up.
You know, like it's like, yeah, right. Give me some lashes, whatever. Right. Like make it look a little... Still me, but fun.
Right.
And like more than I could do. And like... I'm sitting there and I'm talking to people as they're coming in or whatever. And then when they show me my face, I almost started crying.
Wait, this is at the photo shoot?
Yeah. Okay, this was like ahead. The other day. Mm-hmm. And I almost started crying because I had on... My eyes were... And like you said, I have big eyes. Like when you put a lot of makeup on them, it's very intense. Mm. And so... But then I also had a ton of lip stuff on. So it was like... I looked like a full-on
ghoul.
Clown like to myself. I was like... like it was like bubblegum gooey lip gloss, you know, with like my big like makeup on my eyes, like really intense, like lots of lashes and stuff, which I typically like, but you can't do both, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like... Okay, and then I didn't want to say anything, and then like we were about to take the picture, and I was like, it feels really intense. And then the photographer was like, let's just see like how it plays on camera. And then she was like, it is really intense. And then like,
so you have to get somebody on your side.
Then like she took it down and like made it more natural, but it was like that was really hard for me, and I almost cried, and I almost didn't say anything. And that was like the other day, like where I think right. that I'm getting to a point where I can like do this, like
right.
stand up for myself and say what I like. But it's like, of course I should. The picture, I'm not going to post that picture then I'm never going to use it, and then it's a waste of my time.
Right.
So it should be a way that I like feel comfortable, but it's so hard.
It's really hard. It's hard.
It's crazy,
to feel
but
like you're not offending.
You someone. Reminded me with the costume thing of I did.
You see how it all comes
back? It does. It really does come back. This was pretty fun. I was in...
Great.
And I play a babysitter. And
did you draw on your experiences?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And I like... It's supposed to be like the kid has a crush on me. I'm like barely in the movie, but you see my picture a lot in the movie. Like cut out and put onto like naked women's bodies or whatever. And so I'm like kind of nerdy though. I have like glasses and like a braid, and I'm just like, meh, like a little nerdy babysitter, and it's a fun role. And I did the audition and everything. It was great. And then like got it, and we shot in Atlanta, and then like they came to my hotel room, like the wardrobe people with my costumes to like try on different things. And then they had like this, they put on like a sweater. It was like me in a sweater. Like it's very like low key nerd kind of thing.
Right.
And then they had padded bras and lots of filler,
like chicken cutlets.
Chicken cutlet.
The cutlets.
Oh, they wanted you to be a different kind of babysitter.
I had to have huge boobs, and it was like I had. I don't understand why. Like actually, I still don't understand why. It was fine, but I just didn't get it. I had like a very padded bra with two layers of chicken cutlet in each one. Where I went to like a whole different department.
Was it like
at that point?
Was it like a tight sweater you were wearing?
I feel like if you looked it up, it wouldn't even be that. You wouldn't even necessarily be like, wow, that lady has huge boobs. Like you
and
just
there was no like reason. You were just
no one explained it. It was just like, and then you wear these. So I came to set. I did. I had a full day doing it. Then I came back the next day, and for some reason, there was one last cutlet thing. And so I just put it on, and I was like, oh, I guess whatever. They know what they're doing. And then I came in and I mean, he was like, why are your boobs smaller? The second I walked in. And I was like, oh, they only put one thing. And then he was like, can we fix that? What? Why would they fucking change it? What is going on? And then like got the women to come and fix my boobs. Okay. So that, I don't know, you know?
That's so weird. It well, happened. You know,
it. I, he has attention to detail.
attention to detail.
Hashtag me too. anyways.
This is what, but see, actually, it all goes together with everything that's happening right now in that, like, I don't even consider that a Me Too story.
It's
but
not.
I think it is kind
but,
of.
But it's but, kind
but it
of.
Is, but it's like.
It's not intentional.
No, 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 no. But it's like, that's why? How many things happen in your life where I'm like, that doesn't count. I have enough things that have happened that count that is like, eh, like, that's just kind of funny to
you
me.
You would never ask, I'll put it this way. You would never ask a man who it's not for sake of a certain joke or for sake of a certain storyline or a part of the character mm-hmm. to just wear chicken cutlets in his pants.
Right. Just have a bigger dick in the scene.
No.
Just have a bigger dick
it.
In the
no,
scene
I'm
because
not,
it will be more attractive.
I'm, not saying, I'm taking the benefit pants. Of the doubt at this point and say it's for continuity.
No, no. And,
no,
I, and he is. I know
was.
No, no, no.
But why in yeah. general?
I actually
is
think
my,
he,
my
he's
question.
Totally right that, like, it would look different
right.
so it was not wrong and right. it was different and he was right but
yeah.
it's still like shocking because it's your boobs and it's like wait what's it's wrong with like, my boobs how they are and like why can't I just have why can't I be just, a babysitter with small boobs
why can't I just be I wasn't auditioning to play you know a specific type
no that, and it's funny to me because
like the joke in what was that was it Sex and the City where the actress like who's playing the nanny, it's the whole joke is that she's playing the nanny and she has these like really beautiful big boobs.
Oh right, yeah.
And she's not wearing a bra and all the girls are like
Erin go braless because she was from Ireland. That was
yeah.
the joke.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you.
So wait a minute, but wait a minute.
And everyone understands what
I mean I'm
the
trying to figure
is.
This
yeah.
out. Like I'm trying to, in my head to make this right. Okay.
Okay.
Could it be that was the kid that had the crush on you like was he like
he was a little nerd, and then in the movie, he, like, cuts my face, my nerd face out, and puts it onto big-breasted porn magazine pictures. And so to me, that's enough of a joke without me having big boobs, is that he would put me on pictures where
it's
I...
It's a better joke, actually, but it could be...
It still connects.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's such a complicated thing, but it, and it is like, it's one of those things where you just go like, that's just what it is. Like you can't even like feel.
Yeah. And at
it,
that point, it as an actor, you're like, I'm so happy to be working.
Of course. But it is funny, like thinking about those little things and how as a woman, you just are kind of like, that's just what happens. You just can't like, I don't know.
Well, it's changing. Let's put it this way. It's going to change.
Sure, look, I have for sure. I'm not saying I'm immune to it. I have worn chicken cutlets in scenes.
So have I.
Oh, yeah, no.
And that has been more about a conversation with the, you know, the costumer when I'm like, you know, I just feel like I should have.
It'll make it look
better. A little cleavage or this, you know, this dress or this shirt would look a little better if, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And these are the things. We wear Spanx. We wear.
Of course.
You can do all of this stuff.
Yeah. But, and I don't have a problem with that. It was very funny in the moment, though, because it came out of nowhere. Like when they came to my hotel room with them, I was like, wait,
and it wasn't
what?
Just like a padded bra. It was like
it was
a lot
so,
of things.
It was uncomfortable because yeah. it was so many layers like of thickness. You would never wear
right.
that.
But
like,
you didn't ask from the get-go.
Oh, for what to
no, just do. No, just like why are we wearing these?
Oh God, yeah, no, and I was like, I mean, it was enough years ago that I think I was like, I don't.
I mean,
even
just cried
know
about
to
the
ask.
About the eyes in the podcast shoot. She was
yeah,
gonna,
I'm not there yet.
In Atlanta,
I was like, oh okay, even though I was in a hotel room with two women, where I could have been like, why?
Right.
But I didn't.
It's so funny.
Yeah,
we're so scared. Funny.
Actually,
scared.
I'm working with a woman now on this indie movie I'm doing now who was one of the costumers, so I might have to ask her about
oh, well, then
that.
Ask
oh
her.
Yeah.
Then
I'm curious.
Call her right now.
I don't have her number. I'm going to see her on Wednesday, so I'll ask
damn
her.
Damn it.
Yeah.
And then we can let
we
us
can,
know.
We can
then
find
we can
out.
Give the update.
But I do think in those movies, that's a common thing in like those types of movies where all the women have to kind of fit some sort of ideal. Like,
yeah.
I don't have the look of the like, hot babe babysitter, but then if I have big tits, it's kind of like, yeah, then she kind of is or whatever.
Right.
And so, and I'm in the first moment of the movie and you got to draw on all the men. Like, I understand
right.
like the
right.
weird
right. They want,
psyche
they want,
to
they,
it.
They
but...
want to turn the dial so that it's like getting good response.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, it's good. Interesting.
But it does, you know, I don't know, like it makes me understand so much why women have so low self-esteem in this industry, because it's so easy to feel hurt and offended by these moments, like where I could be like, do I need a boob job? Like if I had like less self-confidence or something in that moment, then I'm like, I've never thought about it, but it seems like everyone really wants me to have bigger boobs. And then like, why? And so I guess I'll do that. Like, or, you know, all the, even just watching yourself and you start to judge yourself in a different way. And you're like, oh, maybe I should change this about myself or do this. Or even just thinking about dyeing my hair, where that was never a thing in my life. But then I'm like, I think I want to dye my hair. Maybe I'll look better. Or maybe I'll do something. It's
great.
Like,
great.
But it all comes back to I don't know.
And then you see the people who do a lot of shit and then they ruin their faces.
No, and it's true. And I'm feeling sad, this is like kind of fucked up, but if I'm feeling sad about how I look, I will Google bad plastic surgery and just kind of feel better. Like I'll be like, okay, people who wanted to change one thing about themselves and that kind of ruined it, their entire, what made them beautiful, but they couldn't tell.
But they ruined their career.
Yeah.
Like what's your name from Dirty Dancing?
Jennifer Grey.
Right.
Awesome nose.
Why would you get rid of that? You're not even recognizable.
She said she regrets it. Yeah. I've looked her up a number of times because I think she looked so cool before.
I do too.
She's amazing.
She's beautiful now, but it's like...
But I didn't recognize...
You don't know who she is.
When she started her new series after she did that, you know, when she... I was like, who is that?
Yeah.
I had no clue.
It's crazy.
But
it's so interesting.
You know, who knows? Who knows what caused that? I mean, it could have been an insecurity she had. And what if one casting director was like, she's great, but the looks. That one comment. It can stick with you.
But we're in an industry, guys. Let's face it. It's based on rejection.
I get it.
Yeah.
From the moment you start, from the audition... to even while you're working, it's a rejection.
You have to really separate your sense of self-worth from everybody's critique of you, which is like what I do with a lot every day. Right.
So it actually
works out well because I have a very thick skin.
But you do, and that's part of what.
Do you hear that, audience members? Hold on, because I get a lot of hate mail. Oh my God, they hate me. I got this one thing from fucking. They posted on a review, and it was from. By the way, if you're listening, what is
gonna
the
call
fucking
out their handle?
Yeah, I'm gonna call out their handle. Fuck, give me a minute. Something Tina Fey or something like that. Anyway, hates me because I'm rude. Whatever. But I'm helping Christine. Like you're a much better producer now because of me, because you stand up for what you want.
Because I tell people I don't want those wolf eyebrows when they put them on.
Yes.
What is that?
Somebody gave me, like, I was in this movie called The Game Plan. And I was supposed to be this like cute young girl at a party, and I went in to have my makeup done, and like my eyebrows were black and they were large,
what?
Like spiders, like
why would anyone do that to you?
I don't know. And I was like, does nobody see this?
You had like a Frida Kahlo brow.
Large eyebrows.
Oh my God!
And they were, but like my hair is a sandy blonde.
There's no reason to make them black.
No, and I had to go through the channels to get someone to help me change it because
you don't want to.
I couldn't. Yeah.
So if it comes from someone in production, they can go, we want our eyebrows changed.
I mean, but seriously,
no. Have you had people be condescending to you in the hair and makeup chair? Like my friends were telling me this story. Oh yeah. God. A couple of great stories that my friends were telling were revolving around people judging how they take care of their own hair. Like being like, my friend who works a ton, and like she just did this movie, and the hair lady was like, kind of touching her hair, and she's like, do you have anything in your hair? What's in the? And she's like, oh, I have coconut oil. And she's like, she puts her hands on her shoulders and she goes, honey,
yeah,
you can't come to set with anything in your hair. You just can't. And it's like, she works all the time. It's not like she's never done anything.
And then
another one of my friends where the hair lady was like, is this your first time like acting? And it was like, no.
Oh God.
Not at all. And if it was, then would I want you asking me that right now? It's all very like.
No, because my hair, it wasn't always like this. I had long, curly black hair.
Mm-hmm.
Really big, lots of curl, tight, you know? And I would walk in a set and I'd be like, so I'm doing my own hair. And I literally would just tell them, I go, I'll do my own hair. They're like, and I go, just trust me. If you're not used to this, you're not going to be.
No.
Just let me do my own hair. And I go, as far as makeup, if it's like, depending on the lighting, I just need someone there to powder me because I sweat a ton. That's it. And I tell them, I go, I can't.
It's so much easier as a man.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
You're, as crazy. A woman, you're expected to have to come to set with a full pedicure.
Oh, yeah.
Full manicure.
Yeah.
Your eyebrows are supposed to be like, I've had makeup artists be like, ugh. Well, I need to get in there on your eyebrows because clearly. And I'm like, yeah, that's your job.
Yeah.
Isn't it? You will shave this guy and give this dude a haircut.
Right.
But you're not going to tweeze a couple of my
that's
eyebrows.
That's so true.
Give me a break.
No.
Like, you're expected to literally, like, you got to have perfect highlights. You got to got the grays.
And they don't tell you,
though.
Like, I think I had to figure out that I had to come in with my nails done and all that stuff. Like, just because it was like, well, I guess I want my nails to be done in the movie. And so, like, it was like understanding that I had to do it.
Yeah.
But no one says like to do it because it's just an understood
thing.
The
only time that you don't do it, mostly I think for women and guys, believe it or not, with manicures, is if it's a commercial. Usually on commercial sets, they bring a petty manicure.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's product.
They want your hands.
So they want to make sure the hands are perfect. So they usually bring, but on film or television, usually, yeah, it's on you.
Right. I know. I mean. We could go on and on about all
I'm curious. Have you ever auditioned for like Saturday Night Live or?
Yeah. I tested for SNL in 2011.
And?
I didn't get it.
Did you meet with Lauren?
No.
Did you have to fly to New York?
Yeah, I did. Basically, they had a showcase at UCB that I was a part of and they had scouts there for that. And then they flew some of us out to do a show at the Pitt Theater in New York where Lauren was in the audience and I saw him through a little peephole in the curtain. And then like we did that and then I was flown out again to test on the stage.
So wait, they flew your group out to do
No, like or the, they... some of the people from the showcase they chose.
And so you're doing
And then they chose another number from that other showcase.
So what are you doing in that show for Lauren?
All characters, like original characters.
Okay, but with each other? Or
No, solo, yeah.
So what's your characters?
I mean, they were from like, I mean, it's been like 6 or 7 years now, so they, my characters have come a long way since then, which is kind of a fun thing to think about. Like, I had to scramble to put it together, even though I wanted that my whole entire life. But like, I was like, oh, what am I gonna do? And I now do like characters that are much, I like do recurring characters on my podcast or on other podcasts, or I had a special on Netflix where it brought them to life, where it was like very easy for me to do that by that point because I had kind of established all these characters through podcasting. But at the time, they were just kind of random. Like, I couldn't even really tell you what they were.
Did you do celebrity impressions?
That's what I say, impressions.
I had to do a few impressions.
That's where I get lost. I can't do that.
Especially at the time, that was much like more intimidating to me because I was like, I don't know what I did. So I did like, what did I do? I did a I did a psychologist from Hoarders, who was a woman that I was loving watching.
And, like from the actual show?
Yeah. I did.
I mean, that's very specific.
Yeah, I know. And it didn't work out, okay?
Yeah.
I did.
Especially 7 years ago, Hoarders, it was like, that was kind of new to TV, yeah?
Yeah, probably. I was just looking for people where it's like, how can I get their manners?
Yeah.
I did Maggie Smith, who was on Downton Abbey at the time.
That's great.
I did.
You kind of have to find somebody. I mean, if I'm not wrong, with in terms of impressions, because I don't really do them, but you have to find someone that you can conceivably play physically.
Yeah.
And that you have some kind of specific defining characteristics about them. Whether if they're in the news, that's one thing, like politically, or they have specific defining characteristics. So everybody's like, oh my God, that's Drew Barrymore, or that's
right.
You know.
Who got on from that group?
Kate McKinnon.
Oh. Yeah.
You do a mean Jodie Foster.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's really my only one impression.
Yeah.
I should have gone on your podcast, actually,
as Jodie Foster.
Oh, you can come back.
Well, actually, Clarice Starling.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, that's so that must be devastating a little bit.
It was interesting. Like, I, at the time, was on a sitcom, a short-lived sitcom called Are You There, Chelsea, on NBC that was like Chelsea Handler's sitcom moment. And that was my first big job as like a series regular. And it was really exciting. And when I got the test for SNL, it was while we were waiting to see if we'd get a second season. So I was still on hold with that. But I still was like, I kind of want that to happen.
But you're like on second position with SNL then.
Yeah. And then I always kind of was like, maybe that's why it didn't work. I was like, probably because I didn't do great. You know, so I can really put it all together as a combination of things of why I didn't get it. But it was interesting though at the time because I wanted SNL my entire life. But my dream of being on sitcoms was also coming true. And so it was like, oh, well, this is kind of what happens after you do SNL. You do sitcoms and stuff. And so I'm like doing that. Right. Like, that's okay. And so I felt okay about it. I was definitely sad, but I felt like, oh, I'm establishing myself already and that feels good. And I feel like there will be work and it's not like this is my one.
Right.
I think for a lot of people, but for like the people when you're starting and doing improv and stuff and really wanting that, it feels like it's a really solid way to get famous and have your career and do the thing you love and all of it all at once. And as I've like gotten into this field in general, you can see how it can happen in so many different ways that it opens your mind. And it's not so much like, I don't feel like devastated about it. I'm just like, that's so cool that I got to go on the stage and like have that moment. It really was like really fulfilling to be on the stage. And would you, it was really stressful.
I imagine. Yeah. Would you, if they came back around or like, oh, we'd like to have Lauren come back in, would you entertain it?
Yeah.
They probably have, no?
No.
The next year you didn't try again?
No, it's something that I've thought I would be down for at any point, sort of. Like there's a point where a couple years where I was like, I'm done with that. And then I was kind of like, oh, if that came back into my life, that'd be okay. But then now I feel like
I have a celebrity that you can do.
Oh, really?
I think so. I'm just looking like profile. Like I think Chelsea Clinton.
Oh, that's good. My mom has said I should play her many times. I'm like, my mom also thinks I should.
I'm going, she could do Chelsea Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
My mom really thinks I should play Gabby Gifford, the woman who was shot in the head.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's your mom has a very dark.
Not for SNL, but just she thinks I should play her in like the True Life Story. Oh. And I'm like, do you know how not dramatic that would come off? There was a moment in that woman's life where she's learning how to say the word spoon. Like I watched like this whole like Dateline thing about her. I was like, if I did that with a shaved head and I'm trying to say spoon for the first time as an adult, people would laugh. There is nothing about that would come off
now,
as
hold on, your mom
good.
Might be onto something, because I think the most dramatic people are comedians. Like they have.
I like doing drama, but I know that would be funny. There is no world. God,
I can't believe your mom out of all the movie of the weeks that she's created.
She thinks
the Gabby Gifford story.
That's her favorite one. And then she also thinks I should play Jane Goodall, which I just saw a whole documentary about her, and I was like, I want to play Jane Goodall.
You could be a young Jane
I would
Goodall.
Love to play Jane Goodall. That would be very cool.
That would be very cool.
Although
and
I'd be scared of
work.
The monkeys.
I know. You'd get to work with a lot of monkeys and gorillas. Okay, before we wrap it up, quick, want to ask you, rapid fire, worst date ever?
Oh, yeah. I have two, but one is my first date ever was probably my worst date ever, which is like with this guy I had a huge crush on in high school, and I like asked him out, and that was really crazy for me to do, and he said yes, but it was very nice, but we went out and I like just didn't know how to act like myself at all, and like we went to a diner and I ordered chocolate chip pancakes and a Coke for dinner, which is so insane. And
where'd you
trying
go?
Trying to be like
IHOP?
A diabetic. What's happening?
I don't know. I was like 16, and I was like,
were
"This
you
is
at
cool."
IHOP? Where were you?
It was at a Clark's Diner, and it was just like a local chain in Chicago. And I thought that was like cool or something. And then like I don't even know what happened. It was just like really awkward. I felt so uncomfortable, and it was horrible. And nothing happened. And then he dated my best friend, and I cried for 6 months and didn't talk to her.
Oh God!
Are you guys friends?
We're still good friends. Yeah. But that was our.
What was
that
his
was
name?
Blip. I'm not going to say that.
Why?
It's just not worth it. I talked about my first kiss on another podcast and named the person, and then he heard it. So it was just like I just don't need. Oh.
Well, what was the second worst date?
That was with a comedian I went out with in Chicago one time, and it was just awkward. It was like
question stopping you.
Yeah.
When you're dating another comedian, are you guys constantly one-upping?
No, this was like really he was very sweet, and it was a really sweet little time, but it just wasn't there, like the chemistry. Yeah. But then like we both he was dropping me off at home in the car, like we went in for a hug, we both had our seatbelts on, and then like I did like a sort of kiss on the cheek, and then I was like out, and then we just never went out again. It was just really uncomfortable.
That's not horrible dates.
It wasn't good.
Worst vacation ever?
I had a really bad time in Amsterdam at one point, staying in a really horribly lit, disgusting room that was like fluorescent lighting. And when you get stoned in Amsterdam and return to that, it was just like really bleak. And I felt like I had to leave immediately and book a new trip. And like, I almost booked like another hotel, but I didn't. I just stayed there and waited to not get high, and like to come down from me high. And then I was like, this is fine. And I just like watched Brave on my iPad until like the outside world disappeared. And I was like, this is fine.
Did you ever have the coffee in Amsterdam? It's delicious.
I don't drink coffee.
Oh,
but everyone does say that. I just had a conversation about this and I was like, oh, I think
it's
I missed that.
Delicious. Yeah. I don't know what they do to the coffee there, but it's delicious coffee.
Hey, I got a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
How do you think LA is going to change in January when pot becomes legal? Do you think there's going to be like Amsterdam, like the coffee shops?
Oh wow. I don't know.
Do you think the coffee will get better here?
That would be cool.
Well, I don't smoke pot, but I drink coffee.
Right.
So what does the pot have to do with the
coffee? No, I'm saying like how...
Because they're going to be like making these places where...
They're going to make these places where people can go like Amsterdam and basically have like a pot cookie and the coffee because they don't serve alcohol at these places. They just serve the pot. But then I also wonder, like, are people... Like, how are the cops going to like change things? How they can't breathalyze you for pot.
No, they can. They are... That's... In fact, I was telling my friend they should invest in this. There's companies now in Silicon Valley that have developed the breathalyzer for marijuana.
Really?
How do they do that?
So, yeah. So, it's totally being done. It's a done deal.
Oh,
it's they're out already, but they're like there's like three companies that are doing it. So yeah, so that's your answer to that.
Well, I just went to Vegas a couple weeks ago, and they had it's legal there for 21 and over, and I just went to a store and bought it.
You mean recreationally?
Yeah, yeah.
In Vegas?
Yeah, uh-huh. I didn't know that.
Oregon?
How did they beat
Vegas
us?
Because
Vegas
Colorado?
Didn't even have it. For medical before we did. We had medical before.
Honey, Vegas turned. They were like, why are we not getting in on this?
Because the economy's so bad there.
And they turned it around.
Yeah.
So is that how it works? You could just not... Because I hear...
Now it's medical.
No, I understand that. So what I'm saying is anybody can go in starting January and purchase marijuana products.
Correct. Yes.
So I heard, and I'm not sure if this is right, that if you have a license and you don't pay taxes...
Like you don't pay taxes in general?
Pay taxes on the marijuana.
Right.
If you don't, you have to pay the tax.
That makes sense because in Vegas, you could sign in if you had a card or not. And like it was two different things. And maybe that is like they pay less or something.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
So we got to look into that.
Yeah.
We got to look into that? Wait, why do you care? You don't even smoke
pot. I know that. But like I can get like stuff that has the THC like that doesn't get you high.
No. It doesn't have THC. If it doesn't have THC, it doesn't get you high. But you can still get the cannabinoids.
What's that? Or then you'll just help. It'll make your body feel good.
Yeah,
but you won't be
those are
brain
it's like
high.
The stuff that can help with aches
like
and pains.
Sleeping,
and stuff.
Do you know Whoopi Goldberg has a line of period related weed to help with cramps? Like it's like products that have weed in them that help with cramps specifically.
That's awesome.
I love her.
Do you know that Whoopi Goldberg also has a line of ugly Christmas sweaters?
She does.
Yes.
That makes sense.
It does. You know her. Yes. Have you seen? Do you watch The View at all?
He's a big
hello. I DVR The View.
I'm lighting a whole new conversation. Too. Okay, well,
I DVR The View and Wendy Williams.
I love that. She wears those insane shoes every day.
Yes.
It's always something.
Well, do you know on Project Runway All Stars, she'll be appearing this season, starting in January, the season airs, and she's a guest judge.
I love her.
I know.
She's
I love
so
her
cool.
Too. She is the coolest.
She's great.
Well, Lauren, you have to get on to your next job because
what's her
you're
next
a working
job?
Actress.
Yes, I have to go do ADR for a voiceover job.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Tell us about your podcast, too.
Oh, yeah. My podcast is called With Special Guest Lauren Lapkus. Christine was on the show.
I have
you
never been invited.
Listen to her episode. It was so
really
funny.
Nice.
Well,
I did
if
an
you're
accent
down, then
the whole
come
time.
Around. I'd love to have you if you want to play.
What happens?
So it's an improvised
podcast.
I understand, but I want to hear her tell it, Christine.
So what happens is the guest is the host, and they decide what the show is going to be, if they want to be a character or themselves, and they come up with a character for me, and they don't tell me anything in advance, and we just start recording if it's the show they do every week, and they introduce me once they're ready to as whatever character they've come up with for me, and then we just improvise for an hour.
It's really fun.
So it's like a talk show?
Yeah, it's like it's basically like each person who comes on is
so
having their own podcast.
Who did you make
podcast.
Her become?
I made her become Victoria. What was your last name?
I can't be my last name.
She was like a child star, like a Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, okay.
And I was this like British kind of like shock jock type, but like I was sort of like an emotional guru.
Yeah, she would cut to the heart of...
Cut to the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
And I was having her on basically to talk
about... You're like
about
the white Ayala?
Sure.
Oh, Yon Love?
I love that.
I love Yon Love. I just watched a whole show about men who are raped as children, and I was like, ah! I love Yon Love so much. The show is so dark. It's so great, though.
Yes.
Yeah. We talked about her father, who was in jail because he had been abusing the pony she was on when she was a child. And, I mean,
it was really very funny.
And you did an accent the whole time?
I decided to do, like, literally in the 5 seconds before we started.
It was so funny.
So, this sounds amazing. I definitely
it's really
do
fun.
That.
Yeah,
my question really is fun. Though, is how do you get it so no one repeats the kind of character that you are?
It's people have like worried that would happen, but it pretty much it's up to me essentially to make it different in that case. But if people have been worried, they'll do a show that kind of exists like something that's already happened. I'm like, you know what? Once you start talking, it just can't be anything like what the other one was because it's all improvised, and so it'll go to different places.
And I listened kind of to a bunch of them too.
Yeah, and people.
So A, I would understand what it was, and B, I got an idea of like. What you had already done.
Yeah.
What was the worst character that they gave you?
Oh, I had one where I was supposed to be like a neurosurgeon or something. And I was like, I just don't even know
the
key words I can throw out for this. Like, I just had to just go totally.
You're like
ridiculous.
A neurosurgeon that only got there by nepotism.
Yeah.
He, like, never
I should have
tests.
Had that and be like, I don't know anything about that. But I just pretended to
but my
know
dad owns the hospital.
Yeah.
I work in people's brains. Yeah, I just like figure out brains because like they're so weird.
Has there been a podcast where you're like, God, why did I invite this person?
Mine. Probably mine.
No. There have been episodes where I've been really like sweating it, but you know, they're mostly when I do it live, like on stage, and it's not because the person is bad or something. It's just more like the pressure of it feels more intense on stage. But I did one that was really rough, and it's not because of my guest. I had Todd Barry on, and he's hilarious. But we were at a music, a big like concert festival, a music festival, and there we were in a tent, and it was like everyone watching us was like sitting on grass and like fucking probably so high and weird and like didn't know who we were or what was happening. And then there was music blaring the entire time, and it was like I couldn't even think.
Yeah,
it was just so stressful. It felt like the longest hour of my life. And then by the end, like midway, almost to the end, the music next door cut out, and then it was like now it's silent in here. So it was just like so painful.
So there's a
for
live,
me.
There's a live stage version.
Yeah, I do it every once in a while, but not often, but yeah, it was that can be just a little more intense. But
yeah.
he's hilarious. It was more just like the circumstances were really rough.
Oh my God, that's so great. I have to check
so
it
good.
Out. Everyone should check it out. How
do
we find
please
it?
Listen. You can find it on the Earwolf Network on earwolf.com or on iTunes.
Do you have sponsors?
I do.
Who?
My big sponsor is Maud Cloth, women's.
We love the
clothing,
Maud Cloth
website. I love Maud Cloth.
Okay.
But I also have random ones. Like Second City is one of my sponsors.
She's like a studio. It's not like our jankety podcast.
You mean Aztec Studios?
Aztec Studios. and Dog Hair Studios. Yeah. So when you get out, they'll
where
definitely
do you, where do you record at?
At Earwolf. They have like a studio in Hollywood.
Oh, no. Hers is like legit.
I love this, though. The whole time I'm thinking, how can I make this happen where
Steven,
I'm on
why
a couch?
Don't you get us some of that?
I mean, Audio Boom needs to get a studio here in L.A.
Yeah. There we go. Thank you.
Calling them out.
But this
Manifest.
Is comfortable. I like being on a couch.
I know, but like it's, yeah, I like it's feeling nice. Official, like having the full on like headset and the.
I know.
This is, we our biggest problem is like, what color mic are you going to get today?
I mean, Steven is the most professional thing we've ever done.
Steven's amazing. Steven also does Natch Butte, which is one of my favorite podcasts. And
Steven's way more famous than any of us.
I know. He's
thanks, Lauren.
He's ruining our podcast in the sense of like scheduling.
He's got a lot of murder. He's got
my
a
favorite
lot of
murder, which Earwolf and Midroll have acquired.
Yes, yeah.
But that was a huge deal for My Favorite Murder to come over there.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's been really it's been really cool though.
Where's
I
the
can't
studio?
Compete
at?
With them.
It's like
Vine.
It's
no, sorry.
Bronson and or Van Ness or whatever.
Lauren, where can we find you on all the social?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lauren Lapkus, and I have a Facebook page too, the same thing. And that's it.
And she's really funny on Twitter. She's a comedian, so she's always saying jokes. And
I do, and also I get political. So you know, come for the jokes, stay for my hatred of Trump.
And you can find me on all social media at Yolakin.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah.
Great. You can find me at Alec Led.
And you can always find me at Stephen Ray Morris.
Yay. And don't forget to tune in to Worst Ever on social at Worst Ever Podcast or Worst Ever PC on Twitter. I do the Instagramming. Alad does the Twittering. So nice. You can.
I run the Wild Horses Instagram, Wild Horses Show, and I've quadrupled our followers in the time that I've taken it over. So I feel very proud of that.
I don't understand the Instagram.
Okay, well,
are you just wearing a Wild Horses shirt.
Do you have your? Wife?
I don't have it on me right now.
You wore it the other day.
Yeah, I love it. I love the shirt.
That together. I was literally looking at that shirt, and I'm like, how do I know that? What is that?
I mean, I'll just jump in and say Wild Horses is my favorite live show to see in LA. It's so much fun every month. I'm sad that I missed last month's because I've been traveling, but I'm excited to get back.
Are you tearing up? Wait till you get in the car.
Yeah. I gotta no.
Yeah, and go see Wild Horses.
Yeah,
it's such come see us at Largo and UCB once a month.
Oh, fucking Largo.
You can
eat. Do they do magic at Largo?
Why do I just feel like there's something there that bothers you about Largo?
We'll talk about that off air. And you can email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again, Lauren.
Thank you. So fun.
Woo. Thank you.